The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas in the studio once again with Craig Burley, 2 days in a row. What a beautiful moment for us all. We also welcome to the programme Ali Moreno and Gab Marcotti. Later on in the show, of course, we'll be talking about the latest developments surrounding Lionel Messi and his future at Barcelona. But Gab, let's start, shall we, with something that looks to be resolved a lot quicker. Donny van de Beek going to Manchester United.
Yeah, this had been, he'd been on the market, obviously, for some time, didn't leave a year ago when many thought he would, stuck around another season, had, I think, a relatively productive season for Ajax. Reports coming out saying that this is very, very close to United. You may be wondering, why do United need another attacking midfielder when with Pogba and Bruno Fernandes, you figure they already have that creativity there. I think the answer would probably be that, you need that additional depth, you need that additional creativity, and it's not going to hurt. And I think they like the price. So reportedly this deal, very, very close.
Makes sense to you, Craig?
Yeah, because we've sat and talked about Liverpool increasing their bench. I'm not saying Donny van de Beek's going to be on the bench every week, but as Gab pointed out, competition for places at United could be stale. City strong bench. Liverpool strengthened the bench, which was a big problem for them when they were off the pace. Chelsea clearly going to have a strong bench this year with all the signings, particularly in the attacking areas. So United are going to need that. They're going to need, a good 20 players to rely on. He can do a bit of everything. He's box to box. He can do some defensive duties as well, but he's primarily an attacking player. But he's young as well. And as Gab said, $45 million is a lot of money, but in today's crazy football market, it's probably an average price. We've seen Ben Chilwell, $50 million as a left back to Chelsea. So here we have a young international attacking player, under $50 million, and he's 23 years old. So absolutely makes sense.
Ali, I know when we've talked about this player in the past, you're a big fan.
I am, and I like Donny van de Beek. I think he gives you a lot of flexibility out of the midfield. I think he's a player that has a lot of talent with the ball at his feet, that gives you a lot of work and a lot of energy, and we're talking about depth and the possibility of him being a guy that could come off the bench or may start. Well, here's the thing. We know for certain that Paul Pogba has had a history of injuries over the last couple of seasons. And so whether he's coming off the bench or he's starting alongside Bruno Fernandes or maybe the three of them together, Paul Pogba, Bruno Fernandes, and Donny van de Beek, I think he gives you a lot of options. And a guy that can defend, can do that work, but certainly also provides you a presence in the attacking 18-yard box. Van de Beek was one of the most sought-after players in last year's transfer market, and somehow it just kind of got diluted, and it didn't quite happen for him. And I think he may have wasted this past season in that he didn't really bank on what had been a very hot Champions League run for him and Ajax last year's edition. But still, lands at Manchester United. I think it's a good deal for Manchester United, and it's a good deal for the player as well.
Let's continue then to focus on Manchester United, shall we, Gab? Thiago linked heavily to Liverpool over the last few weeks. However, Manchester United now apparently very much in the running for the Bayern Munich midfielder.
Yes, obviously people know the deal with Thiago. He's got a year left. Bayern figure, well, if you're not going to extend the contract, and I don't think he's happy to extend a contract on the terms that Bayern have talked about or that he thinks he can get from Bayern, they would look to cash in now. I think the difficulty is, from Bayern's perspective, generating interest because already he's been linked to Liverpool quite strongly. And you want to create an auction, you want to move Liverpool along so that, Liverpool don't come in with a cut-rate price, or maybe somebody leapfrogs ahead of him. And I think that's what they're trying to do with Manchester United here, hence the link. For me personally, while you can never have too many creative players, I kind of think that, you know, if you're going to have Pogba and Van de Beek and Bruno Fernandes, even just playing two of those three, you probably want a strong anchor midfielder who, you know, who can do the grunt defensive work. And that's not Thiago Alcantara. But again, it might be a price at which United says, hey, this is too good a deal to pass up.
Is this a needed addition for Manchester United? Is it necessary?
Well, if you're shipping out others, then you take Thiago in a heartbeat. But you look at the balance that they need in the middle of the park, they've got, to do the digging role, they've got Fred, who can do a bit of everything, got better last year. Nemanja Matic, who can't play a full season anymore, hasn't got the legs to get around because of his age. Got Scott McTominay, who's signed a new deal, but he's a good player, but he's not exactly Roy Keane. And they need somebody in there, I think, that can organise and can do a bit of everything. Can bite, can call people out, can be the leader on the field, and can see the whole picture. And, you know, maybe it's just the price, I don't know. Look, at the end of the day, if I was Thiago and those two clubs were interested, I'd go to Liverpool.
Right.
I'd go to Liverpool. And at the end of the day, you know, if Man United bid a little bit more than Liverpool, then Thiago still holds most of the cards because you don't have to go anywhere unless you want to go. Now, it then becomes a game of bluff, but clearly he would be going into a club that's ready-made to go again in the Premier League, to go again in the Champions League, where United are trying to get back to that level. So I think United's a more difficult sell to the player at the moment.
Ali, are you surprised there aren't more clubs in for Thiago?
In some ways, yeah, because of what we saw from him in Champions League and particularly in the quarterfinals and on, we saw a guy that was truly dominant in the middle of midfield and gave Bayern Munich such a natural outlet coming out of the back and so comfortable with the ball at his feet and in tight spaces, how he gets the ball from one side to the other. And you can give him the ball and you know he's going to hold on to it and you know he's going to find the right pass. And so, yes, in some ways, I am surprised that there aren't other teams involved in this. But in other ways, I'm not, because it's not a sexy position that he plays. It's not the attacking player. It's not the guy who's going to score goals, and it's not a guy who's going to play center back and he's going to keep others from scoring. And so this position, by its own very nature, it's one that you think it's sort of an afterthought for teams. And so Thiago Alcantara is a good deal for Manchester United because of what's happening with his contract. And it's a good deal for Liverpool because of what's happening with his contract. But otherwise, I don't think they would be paying a whole bunch of money to get him.
Gab, what does this all mean regarding Jadon Sancho, of course, a player who's been linked heavily to United throughout the summer? The fact that they're looking elsewhere and looking to spend that big pot on maybe a couple of other players, does that suggest this isn't happening?
Well, look, Mark Ogden and Rob Dawson both reported, I think quite clearly, that United are still interested in Jadon Sancho, and They have a price they're willing to go to, and if it's not going to be this summer, they're confident that they'll get him next summer. You know, the guy plays a different position. He's young. He's English. He's still somebody that United will really, really want, and they'll still want him whether they get him now or whether they get him 12 months from now. I don't think they're giving up on him because they've been linked with Thiago Alcantara. And you know, the other thing to consider with Thiago as well is that, you know, his injury record hasn't been great. There's going to be issues with durability, and at his age, he will rightly be looking for a big payday. And this is a guy who's, you know, pushing 30. And in those circumstances, you ask yourself, to what degree does this fit with what Manchester United are trying to do?
No, I think the Jadon Sancho thing is more likely because, as Gab said, the way they're trying to go is a younger player. They seem prepared to spend the money to make sure they're getting a player that is playing well now and playing for the future.
Right.
They've been reluctant to go down the short term. They went down the short term route with the loan signing of the guy that came in from China. His name escapes me. Ighalo, the striker. But generally, when they're spending transfer fees, they're looking at guys that they think can get them, you know, for the next decade or have a big sell on value if they do really well. So they're looking at assets. And that's where that's why I think United will be, although Dortmund will try and play the game of bluff, I think eventually United will spend the money to get the player because they know they're going to get the best part of a decade out of this player.
Thank you very much, gents. Just a reminder, ESPN FC with you 7 days a week. Be sure to join us on the next edition of the show. Are you working tomorrow as well, Greg?
No, I'm actually off tomorrow.
Wow, me too. There you go. Wonderful.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
According to the bookies, then, Manchester City the favourites as the next destination for Lionel Messi. Barcelona to stay there comes in at evens. As Gab Marcoli, it's the first time we've had the chance to talk to you about this. What a time to take a holiday. I'm not sure if you heard. Messi wants out at Barcelona. Where's the Marcotti money?
I don't know. My first instinct on this, Dan, and I haven't had a chance to do any reporting on this. I've just read what everybody said, and everybody's weighed in because Barcelona is a tremendously leaky club, as you know, as is the Messi camp. Everything leaves me with my original reaction, which is this is a power play for him to get Barcelona to be the sort of club that he wants it to be. He wants to exercise his power over the club to see certain changes. And the reason I say that is that, you know, put to one side this whole idea of, you know, of the legal implications of what end of the season means or what it doesn't mean. If the guy wanted to go, we know for a fact that he could have written to the club, what was it, by early June, right? May 31st, right? So then I asked myself, what has changed between May 31st and today? What, did he just kind of forget? Did he think that they were going to win the Champions League?
Cam. They were beating 8-2. Maybe that was the straw. Maybe that was the last straw.
I don't think you make a life-changing decision like that based on a football match, no matter how traumatic. He's been in the end of big traumas before, and he's taken extreme decisions, right? We saw him quit the national team and then come back. So right now, that remains my position, that I think, you know, this is how desperate he is to see Barcelona fixed somehow. And he doesn't want to squander everything that he has built thus far at the club. The club's been very beneficial to him, of course, but he's been hugely beneficial to Barcelona, the Barcelona brand. And I think this is his way to see, can they make the conditions for me to stay? But look, I'm going to do more reporting on it. I'm going to try to figure out what happens, and I will happily report back to you if that changes. I mean, maybe it's just me being under shock that I put two and two together here.
Gab, you made reference to this contract, of course, that La Liga backed up Barcelona today, saying no, it's a 700 million euro release clause. That's what it is. Just to the bones of this, for example, if Manchester City wanted to buy him, what sort of price are we talking, given that he's only got 1 year left?
I mean, it depends on whether Barcelona want to do a deal with Manchester City. I mean, it seems unthinkable that Barcelona might say, you know, assuming La Liga are right here. And by the way, that's to be determined. There's 101 different avenues he could take his case to FIFA, to the dispute resolution chamber, or the status of players committee. There's a lot of avenues he could pursue legally to try to get out of this. But if they sit down with City, the only way you can determine a price is asking Messi, okay, how much money do you want to be paid in the next couple of years? Because obviously that's going to impact how much Manchester City can pay in transfer fee. I know there's been speculation about City sending players the other way in part exchange, because remember, financial fair play, despite what people tell you, hasn't disappeared, not entirely, and it's going to be back in full next year unless things change. So the problem with Barcelona is it's difficult for them to take on players because of their current financial situation. So short answer, I can't tell you that, because it depends. If Messi's so determined to leave that he says, you know what, I don't want to be paid, I don't need to be paid, you know, 70, 80 million. I'll happily take whatever you're playing my buddy Aguero, and I just want to get down to business and work with Pep and win a Champions League, then I think that changes everything.
If Messi is adamant that he just wants out, then Sid Lowe, our colleague, said, and I think the phrase was, clubs will be condemned to do a deal, right? Because they're going to have to figure it out, because Barcelona will not be able to keep, or there'll be no point keeping, a player of his ilk being so unhappy, because he's just not going to play well. It's a guessing game to what his stance is on this. Sid believes it's done and dusted, that he's made his mind up, he wants to go. Gab, at the moment, thinks there's another position that he's taken. We haven't got the answer. Personally, I'd like to see him go.
Right.
I think a lot of people, apart from Barcelona fans, would like to, doesn't have to be Man City, I don't care, but I'd love to go and see him. I'd just love to see him play somewhere else. And maybe that's what it comes down to for the player. Now, one game, yeah, maybe doesn't change. You know, when they lost to Roma, when they lost to Liverpool, maybe he saw some more light at the end of the tunnel. And maybe this defeat and everything that's been going on, and he's had the arguments with Abidal, you know, he released a statement in the press and then on Facebook and stuff. And I know there's going to be changes, but the player himself might just have had enough.
Right.
And thinks, right, okay, the club does need fixed, but you know what? I want to finish my career really strongly, because I've only got one career and I've been a great servant here and I've still got loads to offer to somewhere else, and I want a fresh change and a fresh challenge. It looks to me as if that's the place he's coming from, but it could be political as well, and maybe he will stay. I just don't know.
Ali, what about those that are saying, look, you signed this contract, you owe Barcelona another year, they've paid you so much money over the years, you owe them this commitment, and going on strike isn't helping anyone.
But also part of that contract is what we have to figure out in terms of a legal avenue by which Lionel Messi can say, well, end of the season was when we lost to Bayern Munich. That's the end of the season for us. And so therefore, if that's the case, then there is a wide open lane for him to say, see you guys later. And so that's one part that has to be determined and decided upon. And once we figure that out, then it becomes a whole lot clearer to see what is it that Lionel Messi can do and can demand. I understand what where fans are coming from. I understand what they're saying. You signed the contract, it's your responsibility to show up. But I also think that there's got to be an understanding as to what Lionel Messi has been to the club. This isn't just another player. This isn't just another individual. This has been your guy, the best player in the world for such a long time, and has been, as the guys just alluded to, a great servant to the club. Has provided everything and given everything there is to give to a club the way that he has in the productivity. And we know all the numbers and we know all the achievements. And so this is when you want the club and the player to find a happy medium. I don't think that's going to happen, because clearly the dislike and the disdain from both parties is very adamant. And I also think that Barcelona has handled this in a way almost as if nothing to see here, really nothing going on. Today it was funny to see the Barcelona Twitter handle saying, well, the players have arrived for physicals, and they said they put pictures up of Griezmann and Pique and Ter Stegen. And I'm like, either you're dumb, you're tone deaf, or you don't quite understand the gravity of the situation. You don't even have to report that the players are coming back. The news is not that Ter Stegen and Pique are coming back and that Griezmann is coming back. The news is that the guy that is not there for the physical, and you're only just bringing more attention to it. And it's just another little example of how sometimes Barcelona took for granted Lionel Messi and say, you know what? He has such a Barcelona heart that he'll never leave here. He, no matter what we do, no matter how much we mess this up, he'll never leave here. Now we're at the point in which the door is right there, is open, and he feels like maybe he's walking through that door. And if that's the case, see you guys later. Waste a chance for Barcelona to maintain and to keep their hero right where he belongs.
So he hasn't turned up for that today?
Yes.
I think it's a really bad move for him to act like this if there's no valid reason. There's ways you push about moves. There's way you try and manoeuvre your way out of a club if that's what you want. But you have to stay within your your contractual responsibilities to your employers, right? And I don't think it's a good look if he, for example, doesn't turn up for regular training when that starts again. However, no matter if it's Messi or Ronaldo, I don't care who it is, you don't do that. This goes back to at least last summer. Do you remember that scattergun approach Barcelona had, trying to sign players like Neymar and stuff? I mean, they were literally dragging, I mean, it was embarrassing. They were literally dragging players out the dressing room going, do you want him? Back exchange? No. All right. Do you want him? Rakitic? No. Oh, you go back in. And it was just a total mess. And the way they went about it, and I just think from around that time, all the way through the season, then you had the coaching changes, then you had some other issues off the field, and then culminating in a hugely embarrassing defeat to Bayern Munich. Andy knows he's had a great partnership with Luis Suarez, and that's probably over whether both stay or not, because, you know, Luis Suarez has been struggling. So things have just changed so much. But whatever happens, as a professional, he needs to get his backside to the training ground and needs to train until he gets the move or clubs come to an agreement. Whether you're Lionel Messi or not, he has to get down there with his teammates, his current teammates, and train and resolve it from there.
Last word on this quickly, Gab.
No, there's a legal reason why he's not at training now. I take your point, Greg. But once he comes out and he says, we sent this letter, I am no longer a Barcelona player because we believe this letter has legal validity, by showing up, he's undermining his argument. I know it sounds weird, but that is a strong legal case. He's got to follow through with it, and that's why he can't be there. I am 100% certain that would be the legal
he's
advice.
Got, he's got
that
a
he's
release clause. He's still under contract for another 12 months.
No, it's not a release clause, though. It's not a release clause. It's a unilateral termination of his contract.
Yeah. Yeah, I get your point.
He says, by writing this letter, I have terminated my contract. I am no longer a Barcelona employee.
I see it. I get it. All right. Well, if that's the case, right, if that's the case and he's been advised not to turn up to the club, then fine.
Right.
But what I'm saying
I would assume, yeah.
Yeah, if that's the assumption that he's actually going to be doing his case harm by turning up, if his lawyers are telling him that, that's fine. My point is, let's not go down the Huffy route if things start getting a little cloudy in the next couple of months, couple of weeks, few days, whatever it is, and don't pitch up for training. But if it's a legal matter, I stand back and go, you just listen to your advisors.
Craig mentioned Sid, who wasn't on holiday, by the way, when all this broke. He's written an excellent article over on the website, bringing you pretty much everything you need to know. Be sure to check that out. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Lyon once again then, the winners of the UEFA Women's Champions League. It was a convincing 3-1 victory over Wolfsburg as the favourites once again lift the silverware. They'll be discussing that and a lot more in the next edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. Gab, though, taking another day off. It'll be Don Hutchinson in his seat alongside Julien Laurent. Just a reminder, if you ever miss a show, you can download the audio version of the program over on the website. And while you're on the internet, why not go to YouTube as well, subscribe to ESPN FC. Plenty of content there, including Extra Time. Today's Extra Time, Craig, we talk about which is harder to sink a 4-foot putt to win the Masters.
I think you'll find my ESPN FC podcast downloads every day automatically, Daniel.
Oh, good. I'm pleased about that.
I don't listen to it.
Right.
Ever.
But it's download. Hey, it's great for the numbers.
It downloads anyway. Yeah, just click it.
Yeah, I don't think it.
Oh, I never click it.
Oh,
no. I don't want to listen to myself.
What if you're off? Listen to us.
I don't want to listen to you lot. I do not want to listen to you lot. Trust me, I'm a day off.
You said my commercial reads. Thank you very much to Craig. Thanks to Ali and Gav. Till tomorrow. Goodbye. Welcome into Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Craig with me in the studio. Ali and Gav. Gav back from his holiday in Scotland. Did you enjoy your holiday, Gav?
I did. We were in the Scottish Highlands, the far, far north of Scotland, and we even got to see some sunshine, which meant you could go to the beach and see seals and dolphins and all that stuff that I never expected to do on this lovely sceptred isle.
Oh, beautiful. There we go then. Gav, if Messi and his legal team knew they had a clause to leave set to expire in June, why didn't they exercise it and then extend his contract for the Champions League? It seems naive on their behalf to just assume it would extend.
Yeah, funnily enough, that's the point I made on the show. They could have done it then. They could have hashed this all out now if that was intention. If that was his intention. So you have to assume that if he really is fed up, something triggered that. I don't think it was just the 8-2, because let's face it, that club's been a dumpster fire in so many respects. But yeah, you would assume that would be the logical thing to do. Unless, like I said, unless this is something, an idea that has matured in his mind over the last couple of weeks, and that it's not something that, you know, well, clearly he was unhappy. It's not something that he decided, right, I've had enough. But that is something that's happened in the last few weeks that moved this, and that the thought never seriously crossed his mind before that. I'd find that hard to believe.
Why are we talking so much about Messi?
Oh, Craig, I literally, I had 200 questions today, 180 of them were about Messi.
Were they?
Honestly.
Personally, myself, I'd rather talk about the Ballon d'Or being cancelled or go over the ESPN FC top 100 players.
Yep. You know. Or should Landon Donovan be dropped from the World Cup squad for Julian Green? That was a good one as well back in the day.
Yeah, you know, these things are way more important than with the best player in the world, is he going to leave Barcelona?
I just realised, Ali, that I like Barcelona because of Messi. Did you like any club because of a player?
Yes. Juventus because of Michael Laudrup and Michel Platini. When I was a young, up-and-coming, brash kid in
head
Venezuela.
Head full of hair.
With a little bit of... Yes. There was a lot of hair. Curls. Yes, curls everywhere. That was a long time ago. But yes, back then I used to root for Juventus because of Laudrup and Platini.
What are you, Craig?
No.
Yeah, that's a surprise.
No.
Gab?
You see players, and this is going to be weird, but I remember watching Bulgaria at the World Cup. I think it might have been 1994 or something, and they had this defender named Trifon Ivanov, who looked like a wolf and just laid everything out there on the line against much more talented opponents. Obviously, that Bulgaria side was very good. They had some great players. He wasn't necessarily one of the skillful ones, but I remember being so captivated by him that I started supporting Bulgaria in that World Cup.
Wow.
Actually,
well, right up until they played Italy, of course.
You said no, women.
I tell a lie.
No, women.
Brazil. 82 World Cup, when they didn't win the World Cup, but Italy did. Falcao.
Yeah.
Socrates. Junior. Funny enough, not Serginho up front, but that Brazilian team.
It was more one player. You kind of, it's not really answering the question.
Oh, well, one player, no.
Yeah, good. Ali, Eden Hazard, Antoine Griezmann, or João Felix, who do you think will be La Liga's star man next season after the departure of Lionel Messi?
And those are the three options?
They're your three options.
Not Gareth Bale?
Gareth Bale.
Oh, man, this is tough. I'm going to go with Antoine Griezmann. He's going to play in his position. He's going to free him to come and go and create and score goals and everything that those that have defended Griezmann this year. He's going to have all the space in the world to do the things that he was not allowed to do this year because Messi was there.
Craig, when you sign a lot of new players in one window like Chelsea have, how long does it take to get them to gel and play well together as a team? Is it realistic to expect a title challenge this season?
Well, I think the owner will want to see a challenge. It's not easy, is the answer. And it's something a manager will use to say, look, I need to buy a bit of time for the players to gel. And it's hard to argue against that, but these days, sometimes we see teams being thrown together. I mean, if you remember back when Tottenham sold Gareth Bale, they went down this scattergun approach, didn't they? Went out and signed this player, but it's five, six or seven players all come in, and it was an unmitigating disaster for them. Partly because some of the players didn't do well, and partly because trying to gel so many together at one time is difficult. If you look at Liverpool, they've done it gradually,
right?
You know, and it took Klopp however many years it was to really get that success. So it is going to be difficult, but it needs to be done at Chelsea. They need to make that rebuild happen sooner rather than later. And I would expect them to be in the shake-up with the players that they've signed and potentially with the Havertz coming. But I don't think they'll go all the way.
Would Craig like to play in the Chelsea squad? Heard they're looking to ship Jorginho and Kante. Might be the perfect midfielder.
What, with bad knees?
Just sitting a
couple of pounds overweight.
Couple.
But two and a zero in front of it. I'm quite happy in the team I played in.
Yeah.
Apart from LeBouf.
Yep. What are your thoughts on Doherty deleting his old tweet about being an Arsenal fan after joining Spurs, Craig?
Why are players so worried about trying to hide it?
Yeah.
Doherty from Wolves. The only problem, they won't care if he's an Arsenal fan if he plays great for them.
Sure.
Only remember if he's an Arsenal fan if he plays badly. So I don't see the point in doing that.
What are your thoughts? Oh, no, we did that one. Gab, how well will Everton perform next season given their existing talent and their signings like Alan and probably Hamid?
Existing?
Alan, of course, the deal looked like it was done. Now there's a question mark. His agent coming out saying, it might take a little while longer. James, we got to see. But I don't know. I mean, as you know, quite a fan of the manager. But I don't know that adding players who are older at this stage necessarily makes sense for the club. I don't know, adding a guy like James when, you had Sigurdsson there who does some of the same things. I don't quite see things gelling together. I think the way forward for Everton is necessarily going to be youth, and I think that takes time. Now, obviously, you want some big stars mixed in with that to help you grow, and I think that's the thinking behind Alan. But I think competing for a Europa League spot next season should be the target.
Ali, I had an Everton fan tweet to me very angry that you weren't more excited about Everton's prospects next season.
Well, first of all, I'm going to take a page from my friend Craig Burley and I will say I'm not bothered.
Yep.
And second of all, well, you want me to get excited about a potential signing that was supposed to be done, but it's not quite done, and he's a defensive midfielder, and he's the guy that is going to close the gap between you and everybody else up top in the Premier League? Yeah. Not yet, Everton. Not yet. Win something, win some games, and then we'll start talking. Up until then, you just have to fight for being a relevant club, which you haven't been in a while.
Why does everybody tweet you about everybody else?
Because I'm like the, I'm the conduit in this, this whole thing. Tell Craig that he's an idiot.
Are you the pin cushion? People just like get to you.
Basically, I just pass the message on.
Well, pass this on. Get stuff.
Right, good. Gab, with Donnarumma having 1 year left on his contract, wouldn't it benefit AC Milan to sell him now for a high profit rather than risk losing him for a little in January on a free next summer?
It would, except there's a little bit of a problem here, which is, first of all, he's only got a year left on his contract, so you know you're not going to get necessarily full value. You'll get something for him. But the other problem is Donnarumma's wages are absolutely enormous. I believe after De Gea, he's the second highest paid goalkeeper in the world. He might be the third now, if there's been other extensions. That is a ton of money for a very young player. His agent is Mino Raiola, so you know that if he moves, he's going to want even more money. Mm. And the reality is, I think clubs look at this and say, you know, what's the limit with this guy? You know, if he's getting this much money at 21 years of age, how much am I going to have to pay him down the line? And I think that's the real hurdle. That's why Donnarumma's contract extension, and it was the previous owners who did this, will have to go down as one of the most cack-handed, boneheaded decisions in history. Not because of the way, of the fact they extended his contract. He's outstanding, of course you extend it. But because of the terms that Mino Raiola managed to get out of them. I mean, or you can look at it the other way and say, Mino Raiola is a freaking genius, which probably is.
Just because you've got a list of questions doesn't mean you've got to ask them all. I mean, if you go like that, right, that's it, the director will cut us up, Bosch, get us off.
But I've only got a couple of questions left and you've wasted more time I think that could have been saved by telling me that we could hurry.
I think it's a couple too many. I think it's like Arsene Wenger staying on at Arsenal 2 or 3 years too long.
Since Gab is back, how good is Rodrigo and how will he fit at Leeds?
You're talking about Rodrigo de Paul, presumably, yeah?
Yes.
From Udinese? He's very good. I mean, look, you know, not many players who play for Udinese get to play for the, albeit somewhat defanged, Argentine national team. He's a busy midfielder. He has quality. He leaves it all out there. I think he can make an impact at Leeds United. And obviously, he's got no secrets whatsoever for Marcelo Bielsa.
Final question. It's a good one, Craig. Ready? What would you prefer? To score a hole-in-one at the Masters or a goal in the World Cup final?
Done that.
No, you didn't make it to the World Cup final, did you?
Finals.
No, did I say finals? No, I said final.
Well, I mean, Scotland were never going to play in the World Cup final. And I've scored the goal at the World Cup.
But a World Cup final to win it for Scotland, would you prefer that? Or a hole-in-one which would win you the Masters?
Oh, hole-in-one at the Masters.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think is harder, like a 4-foot putt to win the Masters or a penalty in a penalty shootout to win the World Cup?
Probably a penalty at the World Cup.
Penalty is easier than the putt?
I don't know.
It's hypothetical, isn't it?
I'm tongue in cheek, because scoring at the World Cup was great, so it would have to be the World
Cup. How many times did you mention you scored at the World Cup in the last three sentences?
Did I mention I scored at the World Cup?
But what's harder? Ali, what's harder? 4-foot putt for the Masters or a penalty to win the World Cup?
4-foot putt at the Masters.
Yeah?
You saw some of that this morning when you came and visited me.
Yes, I was at Ali's house this morning.
In my backyard, in my putting green.
Yeah.
You saw how difficult that was, and it wasn't a 4-footer.
Oh, no, but this is me. I can make any putt look difficult. Do you play the World Cup at all? Do you score?
I told you about my goal.
That's it, then. ESPN FC is back on your screens tomorrow. Welcome back, Gab. Me and Craig are off, but won't be together. Just to let you know.
Sorry, beg your pardon.